Monster Man, bonus episode, April 2024. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. Today's episode is a bonus episode, going out to my Patreon backers at all levels as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. In these behind-the-scenes episodes, I talk about what I've been reading, watching, working on, just kind of catch up a little bit and talk about how things are going. April has been a very eventful month. As you may know, my day job is in education. I work with kids, many of whom are not in school for health or other reasons, some online, some in person. And here in the UK, there are two main sets of exams that a teenager will take, and both of those sets of exams are approaching. And so my tutoring schedule has picked up a lot over the last month as more and more schools or families realize that, you know, exams are nearly here and put in for extra lessons. In addition to that, I'm hoping to have the Tome of Tombs all laid out by the end of May, and also to have a draft of another project that I'm working on written by then, so it's been pretty busy. So what have I been up to over the month? Well, I've been various places. I went to the LARP that my wife Allison and I play in. That was the first weekend of April, and a good time was had by all. This game, this series of games, is coming to an end in about a year, and then the same group who run this one are going to start a new campaign, effectively, a new series of linked games, and I'm having a thought about what I'd like to do in that future system. I've really been enjoying this game, but I'd like to step up my involvement in some ways. But that's a thought for next year, probably. I also, the weekend after that, went to Salute, which is the big wargaming convention in London. It's, I believe, Europe's largest wargaming convention. It's a one-day event, and unfortunately there were troubles with the train, so it was a bit of a longer journey for me than usual, but it was nice to be there to see people. There are sort of friends that I only really see at Salute, and it seemed very busy. I know all my friends who were working there, they're were, you know, busy all day, so that's really good. Especially, it seems to run right up until the end of the time slot, which so it Salute goes from 10 to 5, and a lot of the time it's really wrapped up by 4 or even 3:30, like everything is really starting to slow down, and it didn't feel that way at all to me this year, so that was good, but also bad, I suppose. I hung out a little bit, and I was supposed to be running some participation games of a game called Force of Virtue, which is a Renaissance skirmish game for Masterstroke Games, the people who make it, as part of a display board being put on by the town of Gradara in Italy, the History and Games Lab of the University of Edinburgh, the University of Urbino, and Masterstroke, who I mentioned, and Oshiro Model Terrain, the company that actually made this beautiful replica of the walled town of Gradara. But actually, I wound up not running even one game. I was just answering questions about the board so much. But I do think that games got run, which actually, in fairness, I might not have been the guy to run them. I was not an expert of the system. Not that it made a big difference, I suppose. As I was preparing to do it, you know, I did this, played this online game of it and kind of tried to learn the system. And one of the pieces of advice I was given, which I think is quite right, is more important to just, like, have enthusiasm and momentum and carry the game on and not, like, worry too much about if you're getting it exactly right. It's obviously better to get it right than get it wrong, but it's more important to be, like, energetic and engaging, which I think, hopefully, I would have been. This was also the... So I'm recording this on the 30th of April, which means that tomorrow is my dog's birthday, and she will be 13 years old, which is a very fine age for a dog. And this also means that it's nearly the 5-year anniversary of our getting her. Pepper was not intended to be a COVID dog, but she kind of wound up being that way. It's hard to imagine my life without her at this point. She's such a part of the, you know, the routine and the daily life of our household. So that's a very nice occasion to reflect. I don't know if I ever said this on Monster Man, but if you're in the UK, you may know the television show The Doghouse. And actually, we got Pepper as part of that show. We were supposed to be on The Doghouse. Well, I don't know about supposed to be, but we were filmed. You know, they did a whole day of interviews and filming footage with us. And actually, if you watch, there's an episode in season one where you can see Pepper. Not that you would know what my dog looks like, but they call her by name in one episode of that show where she's considered as a possibility, and then they decide to offer another dog to the family. But I know that they filmed lots of applicants, and of all those different people that they filmed, you know, maybe half got in, so we just didn't make the cut, I guess. Oh, and I was in Kent for a roller derby game, and I wandered around. I was in Herne Bay, but mostly I just went for a walk with the dog while the game was being played, because you know, no dogs at the venue. And then went out for dinner with some old friends, which was really great. So overall, I'd say it's been a pretty busy month, and next month is looking to be possibly even busier. But one of the things that I've said frequently, and I stand by, is that my life is a lot busier now than it used to be. Or, maybe not. I don't know that it actually is busier. It feels busier. But the important thing is that I'm no longer doing things that I don't like. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy making this show. I enjoy writing games and, you know, working on game-related projects. Like, everything that I do is something that I wanted to. There's nothing I would cut. I mean, it's a good thing. Game-wise, I mentioned I went to this LARP event. I've also been running my D&D game, although I think I've only managed to do one session this month because, you know, different members of the player group have been traveling. That's something that tends to happen a lot as summer approaches, but that's fine. I'm running the Stygian Library, which is not written to be run in 5e, but if you don't care that much, you can do it without too much difficulty. I've been playing in the 5e game that I play in. This is actually, you know, one of the things that we're doing at the moment is we're actually in a dungeon, and it sort of made me think of how relatively seldom we are in what one might describe as a dungeon. It might be sort of once a year. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's more frequently than that, but I don't know. But this is quite a big, interesting one. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I do think we're getting pretty close to the end, and I wonder what, if anything, will take its place in the gaming schedule. I missed a session of the Mythic Iceland campaign that I play in because I was, as mentioned before, in Kent. But I am playing some Silver Bayonet, the Napoleonic horror miniatures game, with people from that group in a few days. So I'm excited about that too. All right, let's talk about reading and films and things. So in April, what did I read? I read N.K. Jemisin, and I apologize if that's not how you pronounce it, but I read N.K. Jemisin's novel, The Fifth Season. I had heard this well spoken of, or her work in general well spoken of, so when I saw it secondhand, I snapped it up. I really enjoyed it. It was not quite what I was expecting. When I heard that it was this thing with kind of like environmental themes, you know, environmental issues are very important to me, but I sort of expected it to be more of a, I mean, I feel like a lot of fiction that addresses environmental issues is sort of parable-like, and I didn't feel like it was like that at all. I really thought it was interesting, and I will check out the second one if I happen to run across it, and I suppose anything else I find by her. I read Came the Dawn, which is a collection of comic stories, I would say mostly from kind of EC Comics, illustrated by Wallace Wood, and I've always been a moderate Wood admirer. I think a lot of people look at Wood and he's a really good example of a particular style that was so prevalent in that period. I don't quite know how to describe it because it's just so well executed. And you can really see him developing as a visual storyteller as opposed to as an illustrator over the course of those stories. So those were fun to read. I was at Salute, of course, so I picked up some bargain Osprey books. And so I also read Soldiers of the English Civil War 1, Soldiers of the English Civil War 2, and English Civil War Artillery 1642-51. Those were, I think I got all three of them for like £3 or something like that. I don't recall precisely, but I teach a Civil War course, so it was quite interesting. Although the course I teach is not very much about the kind of military side of things, but it was interesting to learn about. I read Stuff Matters, a kind of pop science book about material science, which I thought was very interesting, actually. I regret that I was quite sort of intimidated by science when I was in high school, which is the last time I really did any. And because I didn't do very well in it, I kind of tried to like cover up that I didn't understand it instead of really applying myself. And I did fine. Like, not that I was terrible at it. I did okay in my classes, but I could have done better, and I could, more importantly, have learned more. If there's one thing that I would like to sort of go back and teach my teenage self, is that nobody cares whether you really get it or not. You know, nobody's making fun of you. Or rather, when people in high school make fun of you, there isn't really anything that you can do in terms of changing your approach that will make them stop. You know, you can't satisfy these people. So you should just do what you want. Not that I wanted to, but it would have been good for me if I had. I do sort of wish that I had put more effort into math and science, because there's such interesting ways of seeing things and learning about things. And I kind of, you know, because I wasn't as sort of, not to blow my own horn or anything, but, you know, I feel like I was more obviously gifted in things like English and history. And so that's where I put all my effort, which is weird because you'd think you'd have to work harder on the things that you aren't as good at. Anyway, whatever. I read Posters of the Cold War, although to be honest, I'm not sure I read it so much as looked at it. It was like an exhibition catalog of a museum exhibit, and it had some great posters from the Cold War. There's a new book out for Glorantha. That is the Glorantha Sourcebook. Actually, I guess it's not a new book. It's an old book with a new cover and some new illustrations, and some illustrations that were previously in black and white are now in color, something like that. Anyway, I didn't have the original, so I got this one. It was all right. I asked the question at one point, should I get this, or does it replicate material that's in the Guide to Glorantha? And it doesn't really replicate material that's in the Guide to Glorantha. What I should have asked is, does it replicate material that's in King of Sartar, or The Fortunate Succession, or The Glorious Reascent of Yelm? I've read all those too, so. And the answer is, I think it kind of does. I don't know, it's kind of nice to have all that stuff in one place. Glorantha is so interesting to me because, you know, I was once talking to Ken Height, and Ken gave me a piece of advice about a project that I was working on at the time, saying there shouldn't be a sentence in this thing that doesn't have some application to the game. And, you know, realistically, that's not what Glorantha is like. Like, the details of, I don't know, the military strategies of battles that happened hundreds of years in the past, never, ever, ever going to come up in a game. Never going to happen. Glorantha is a form of maximalist setting in game design, and I'm not against that. My personal preference for most games is travel light, move fast, because I don't know that I have time in my life for more than one maximalist game setting, you know? But one can be a lot of fun. And I read The Deor Horde, Hannah Vedin's book on the way people write about animals in Old English literature, and the linguistics of that, but also kind of how animals are used to illuminate humanity. I probably should have read it. It's kind of like a series of articles, and I really should have read it like that instead of just trying to plow through it, because I do think it would have been more interesting. I think I know Hannah Vedin's main thing as the Old English word hoard, which is sort of like a, you know, Old English word a day social media account, and I wonder if these weren't kind of like, they're a bit longer than like a blog post, but I do think they could be excerpted. They're a little bit connected. Anyway, whatever. It's a good book and I enjoyed it, but I wonder if I would have enjoyed it more if I dipped into it periodically. Film-wise, I watched the animated film Dracula, Sovereign of the Damned, which I don't necessarily recommend. I would like fast forward through the first 30 to 45 minutes, and there's a point around about the halfway mark where it gets bananas. So that was a fun, like, you know, watching it with a drink and some popcorn on bad movie night with my friends. I had a good time with that one, but it is not a good movie by any stretch of the definition, and unforgivably, the first chunk is dull. Well, not dull, but it's repetitive. I watched The Creator, that Gareth Edwards science fiction film, which looked nice. A friend of mine described it as looking like deviant art, which I think is fair. I like John David Washington. I don't think I've seen him in like a huge number of things, but everything I've seen him in, I think he's been pretty good. But I don't know, somehow I felt something missing. I loved all of the scenes, you know, but they're a bit kind of, oh, look, it's a robot somewhere you wouldn't expect a robot. It's a robot in a rice paddy. It's a robot in a Buddhist monastery kind of things. And also, I do feel like if I were building an unbeatable super weapon that was the sole thing that was making my side win a war, I would maybe try to make it a little less simple for two randos to blow up. I watched Art in Miniature, which is a sort of, I don't even know if I should really call it a movie. I don't think it's feature length. Whatever, it's not important. It's about an hour long. It's a documentary about miniature painting, and I had forgotten that my friend Ian appears in it, so that was kind of fun to see him, and lots of other people I know, and some people I know contributed models to it as well, or things like that, and it went together with a museum exhibit, or like an art gallery exhibit about miniature painting. It was very weird because it was framed around this question, is miniature painting art? To which one can only reply, yes, obviously. Construct a definition of art where this doesn't qualify. To me, anyway, it was an attempt to answer a question that, you know, I didn't know needed answering. Let's see. After that, I watched Drive Away Dolls, which is, oh dear, which Coen brother did this one? It's not the one who did The Tragedy of Macbeth, I'm pretty sure. It's the other one. Anyway, it was all right. I mean, it was fine. I enjoyed it, but it's not gonna displace my existing favorite Coen films, that's for sure. I watched The Last Repair Shop, a short documentary about the people who repair band instruments for music students in the like Los Angeles public school system. That was really interesting. People who make and repair and work with musical instruments to me are very interesting because it seems like such a difficult job, right? Like, tiny changes in what you do will really affect the sound of the instrument. So it's simultaneously like this very precise technical job, but then also it's tied to artistic expression. And I'm always interested in the way that technology, which I mean is what this is, and art intersect. You can tell I've been stressed out lately because I've been rewatching TV shows that I've seen before. And one that I've been, you know, skipping around, watching an episode here and an episode there is Wu-Tang and American Saga. And it reminded me of how, like, if you ever watch an interview with the RZA and he talks about, like, the early days of Wu-Tang production, half the time he'll be talking a bunch of mystical stuff about, you know, coming together as a mighty force and changing the game and so forth. And then the other half of the time, he'll be talking very specifically about the particular sonic qualities of particular pieces of production equipment from that era. And to me, that's very interesting. Finally, I watched Avatar, The Way of Water, James Cameron's 2022 follow-up to his incredibly successful 2009 science fiction film. I was expecting it to kind of slide off me, but to be honest, it's pretty good. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying here. James Cameron knows how to shoot an exciting action sequence? Everybody was aware of that. You know who's a good actor? Sigourney Weaver. Yeah? No kidding. Yeah, it's pretty good. And, you know, you kind of think, oh, well, it's just going to be a bunch of spectacle. And then, you know, halfway through, you realize you're really drawn in by the spectacle. So it was fun. I had a good time watching it. I watched the first couple episodes of that Fallout TV show, which everybody else watched. I don't have Amazon Prime myself, but I happened to be visiting somewhere that did, and I thought it was pretty good. It sure does look like the game, which is very wise, since the game has an incredibly distinctive visual style, which is one of the things that people like about it. I mean, why mess with that, since that is clearly one of the things that you're trying to get when you make a TV adaptation of Fallout. People in it were good. Overall, I'm interested to see more. I don't got that Prime, so I'll have to wait until I'm traveling or something and I'm around somebody that does. I started watching, speaking of streaming services I do have, I started watching X-Men 97, which everyone was raving about. I wasn't ever really a big fan of the 90s X-Men cartoon. I was a tiny bit too old for it. So in 92, I turned 14 and I was just like, oh, cartoons, you know, I'm a little too old for that kind of thing. It was the same with Batman the Animated Series. I later went back and rewatched Batman the Animated Series, which, you know, I think really holds up artistically. It's so interesting and innovative. And I don't know that that's really true of the 90s X-Men show, which I did watch a few episodes of. It became a thing that I watched when I was like trying to go to sleep. I'd put it on and just kind of doze off. Didn't really follow much of it. But X-Men 97 has been good fun. I watch it while I'm on the treadmill at the gym. And it made me like Gambit. I really don't like Gambit. And it actually made Cyclops cool. Like, I like Cyclops, but he's not cool. So, you know, that's kind of neat. In the upcoming month, I mean, it's head down and work, I think, really until June. I have been doing some, like, fun painting. I'm not trying to do any of my big painting projects right now, but just kind of paint things purely recreationally. I think that that's a really good idea when I'm otherwise feeling pretty busy. So I'm just doing stuff as the spirit moves me, and so far I've been really enjoying it. But yeah, gonna write some words, gonna cast some pods, gonna teach some kids, gonna continue trying to go to the gym. I guess this is my month that I really started trying to go to the gym on a like regular basis. I actually joined a gym, which is something I don't think I've ever done in my life. And so far, so good. I'm sticking to it, which I wasn't sure I would. It's pretty convenient. It's not that far from my house, and it's sort of between my home and a lot of my clients, so I can kind of like go there on the way back from work, so that's kind of convenient for me. But you know, I gotta take good care of my health. It's important, etc. So I'm doing my best. Yeah, and I'm just gonna keep trying to do that through May, and then hopefully I'll have more time to think about, you know, more ambitious gaming related projects in June. All right, that's about all the time that I have to talk about you know, what's going on here at Monster Man Towers for today. So next episode's gonna be about monsters from the Silver Age of comic books, or the monsters of Mort Weisinger? Either way. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope that you will join me then, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening, and thank you very much for supporting Monster Man on Patreon. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.